want nobody controlling me. They have no self-control themselves. Everybody I've ever heard say, I don't want you controlling me. I don't want nobody controlling me. They don't have self-control. Because when you have self-control, you don't mind people controlling you. The centurion came to Jesus and he said, I have a servant that is sick in my house. He's under my roof. And if you will but speak the word only, my servant will be made well. He said, I am a man in authority. I say to this one, come and go. He comes and goes. And I am under authority. And Jesus responded and said, wow, I have seen no greater faith, no, not in all of Israel. This man understands it. People that don't want to be controlled have no self-control. But people that want to be a disciple of Jesus don't mind being controlled because they want to control their own life. I like to be controlled by people that have my best interest in view, don't you? Amen. I raised my kids. I controlled my kids. So when they got older, I didn't have to control them. They control themselves. You understand that? Okay. Too many times we think control is being forced to do something against our will. However, you know, out of control, people that get said, man, he is out of control. Meaning he is losing the ability to contain himself. When you look at the demonic man, the one that had the legion, he was out of control. The Bible says that no man could tame him, no, not with chains. But often in the night, he was cutting himself and crying among the tomb. No man could contain him. He was out of control. But when Jesus came, even the devils said, uh-oh. Here comes the man that can control us. And they asked not to be cast out of the region. And when Jesus made the man whole, what did he do? He returned him to a normal life. He didn't make him a superhero. He didn't make him an apostle. He didn't do any of those things. He simply put him back in control, listen, of his own life. God's desire is not to control your life, but it is for you to control your own life. My. We look at the parable, in many of the parables, he would give them the ultimatum. He said, here's my goods. I'm leaving for a journey. I'll be back later. And he would give them his goods while he was gone. They were in control of it. But when he got back, if you weren't prosperous, he had, you know, bad news. The prodigal son, he left his father's house. And I've said this recently. He left his father's house not because of greed. He left his father's house because he wanted control of what was his. Give me my portion that is mine. Let me control my own destiny. And so when he took control, Brother Valentine, of what was rightfully his, the Bible says it was, rightfully his, he takes his journey until he finds himself out of control and he finds himself now being controlled by somebody else in the world. And he came to himself and realized it would be better to be under control of my father and be a servant like a servant is to a master. So I will arise and go home to my dad and say, you take control. Because what he was missing was the influence of his father. The influence of his father is what he was missing. I'm here to tell you this morning that God does not want to control you. What he wants to do is influence you to make the right choices in life. That's why he told Paul, it is hard to kick against the pricks. If you want to keep doing it and hitting your head against the wall, keep doing it. But you're going to get bruises and pains and things like that. Before long, you ought to say, it's not worth it. And I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, this morning, we are not puppets on strings, as some people think we are. Amen. And neither do I, as your pastor, want to control you as puppets on strings. My job is to influence your decision. Every one of you know I don't mess with your internal life. I don't mess with y'all's internal life. You come to me, I'll help you solve it. But I'm not a sheriff where I'm going to control what you do, where you go. I'm going to preach the word of God, and you've got to have enough self-discipline. You've got to have enough self-control. And I just want to be the influence, if you will, to influence you in the right direction. Hallelujah. Whew. Bible talks about the goodness and the severity of God, the good side and the bad side, if you will. God's not bad, it's just that he allowed the evil. He allowed the evil. So when Solomon comes to this point where that he builds a temple for God, you know, David sat there in his house one day in his cedar home. The Bible says he was sitting there, you know, and I don't know what he was doing, flipping channels or something, but he was sitting there and he was like, oh, this is so good, so good. I'm not running anymore. I'm so happy. The fireplace is good. It's so nice to have a nice one. Wait a minute. How in the world could I do this? Build myself something without building God something first? How is it that I can sit here and enjoy all these blessings and God still be in a box and we're dragging him on a box? He said, I know what I'll do. I will build a house for the Lord. And of course, you know, because he shed so much blood, the Lord honored the request, but not the man to do it. And he said, your son shall do this. So here we have, if you will, the climactic moment where Solomon has finished the temple and they have all the musicians ready and they have all the trumpets ready and they're making their prayer, if you will, to usher in the presence of God into the temple of God where God will permanently, he said, I want to be there perpetually. And so they're bringing it in, and the Bible says that when Solomon had made an end of the praying, that the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled that house. It filled that house. And it was the glory of the Lord that filled the house. What is the glory of the Lord? Can I tell you what the glory of the Lord is? It is the goodness of God. When Moses said, Lord, show me your glory, it didn't say the glory passed by. It said his goodness passed by. And so the glory of the Lord is his goodness. So that when people look at you and see his goodness, they see the glory of the Lord. And so the glory of the Lord came in after the fire had come in. And the Bible says when they saw these two things, now watch closely. When they saw the fire come down and consume the sacrifice, and they saw the glory of the Lord that filled the house, they bowed themselves to the pavement. I mean, they put their face on the ground and worshiped and praised the Lord, said, for he is good. He is good, and his mercy endureth forever. They saw the severity of God. They saw how the fire came down and sucked up the sacrifice. And they saw the glory of God, or the goodness of God, as it filled that temple. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon that night. And he said, look, he said, I've honored your prayer. I have chosen this place to put my spirit. I have chosen this place to honor. And wherever God is, let me tell you, there's a blessing. Let me tell you, wherever God is, goodness is going to happen. Talk to Obed-Edom. He couldn't be here this morning, but he wanted me to let you know that for the few days he had the Ark of the Covenant in his house, Lord have mercy, he was so blessed, and that's why David wanted it back. David wanted it back because he wanted the goodness of God to return into the tabernacle of God. Hallelujah. And so, here they are. I'm honoring your prayer. And they see the glory of the Lord and they see the fire come down. And he talks to Solomon and he says this. He told Solomon that if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among the people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. See, I'm doing this anyway. This is what you can't miss in this thing. I'm doing this anyway. I'm sending out the locusts. I'm sending out the drought. I'm sending this out anyway. All the plagues that came upon Egypt, none of them came upon the children of Israel because they obeyed the word of the Lord. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive them of their sins, and heal their land. God was not trying to control them. It was the ultimatum. He was not trying to control them. Amen. What he was trying to do is secure his blessings and his goodness so they are not taken advantage of. The ultimatum was not really what you suspect. The ultimatum was not to bring disease on them. The ultimatum was not to bring the locusts on them. If you don't mind me, then I'm going to put a curse on you. That's controlling people right there. When somebody tells you, I'm going to do something bad to you, if you don't, that's controlling you. What God is doing is taking away his goodness. That's the ultimatum. That's what I want you to understand this morning. I'm going to give you this. I am the one that's going to bring you to a land where you're going to drink water you didn't dig the wells. I'm going to let you have trees that you didn't plant. Hallelujah. I'm going to let you live in houses that you didn't build. But if you don't serve me, I take away my goodness. He didn't curse them, nor did he curse Adam and Eve. He took away his goodness so that they were like the rest of the world. Do you understand this morning? Is it reaching to the back? So he gave them the ultimatum that I've chosen this place to live. I've chosen this place to put my spirit. But if you do not, if you leave me and you serve other gods, I yank my goodness. I yank my mercy. You're going to be treated like everybody else in the world. So when I send the pestilence out, you get them too. Hallelujah. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commands I set before you and don't worship me and you worship some other god, he said, I will pluck you out of my land, which I have given to thee. This house, which I have given to thee and sanctified, I will cast out of thy sight, so that it becomes a byword and it becomes a proverb when people pass by. What was this? How did that happen? Oh, the answer shall be because they forsook the Lord. I want you to understand, God's not into cursing you. He's into blessing you. But if you don't humble yourself and allow him to live in your temple, God now has chosen you to live in. And you, and you, and you, and you. And as long as God, he said, this now becomes the perpetual temple where God wants to live. And as long as you got God in here, you got goodness. You've got mercy. You've got grace. You've got love. You've got peace. You've got everything that you could want from God. But if you turn away, he yanks his goodness. It's not that he wants to send you to hell, as Brother Valentine told us. That's not it. You do that to yourself. But he yanks his goodness and his mercy and his love. It's tough to think of it this way, but it's the ultimatum of love. He gave his life that he might live in you. And everything I read in the book that he says, don't do this, don't do that, even if it was a law, it was good for you. It was good for you. Don't touch this. Don't do that. It was good for you. I want to close this morning as they come. I'd like to sing that old song, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary, if you don't mind. Adam and Eve could have stayed in the garden forever. But because they ate of the one tree, he said, do not eat of. For the day you eat it, you die. What he was talking about was severance from the relationship of God. Severance from the relationship. He gave them the ultimatum that day. And truly today, when we come to God, I'm giving you the ultimatum of love. It's the ultimatum of love. God wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. He wants you to have peace in your life. He wants you to be prosperous in this life. But if you don't give God what God deserves, and you're going to serve other gods, meaning the world more than God, He says, I'll just back up. I'll just withdraw my goodness. And then you're going to face everything the world faces. Now, what did I tell you in the beginning? The hardest thing to manage is what? How to get up when you fall. I don't know about you, but I have fallen. He helped me to get up. He was there to help me. He's an ever-present help in the time of need. He was there. The difference is the world does not have God to help them. Up. Get up. Get up. Get up. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Would you stand this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Solomon, my eyes are on this temple. I've heard your prayers. This is a place I want to live forever. I want to live in this temple. And this morning I'm telling you, God has heard your prayers. He wants to live in your temple perpetually, forever. But he said, Solomon, if when I send out pestilence and a drought hits the land, if you don't humble yourself, and you don't seek my face, and you don't turn from your wicked ways, then I'll just let you be like the rest of the world. I withdraw my goodness. And this morning, I'm not trying to preach tough love, but I'm preaching to you that God loves you so much that if you'll just humble yourself in the sight of God, He will forgive you. He will restore you. He'll bring back things you thought you never could obtain again. He'll bring back trust that's been broken. He'll bring back love that's been lost. He'll put somebody new in your life you thought, I'll never marry you. I'll never find. He can change all that. But He wants first place in your life. Hallelujah. Would you make your way down here for just a few minutes as we sing this old song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Hallelujah.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Charlie LeBlanc stood up and say, would you stay? Would you consider staying? And when he asked me that, I wasn't sure. I was doing what I was told to do. So I'll be honest with all of you. I went home. I prayed. I will never forget, as I sat behind my desk at my office, contemplating the answer, knowing it takes a lot of time. And you're looking at a man, when he commits, honey. There ain't no backing up when I commit, because I think it through before I commit. And I sat behind that desk, and business was good. Life was good. I'm like, this is going to be a burden. This is going to be, I won't get to go fishing as much, hunting as much. And Lord, people and their problems. And this church had a lot of problems when I got here. This wasn't like going and taking over a church, got 300 people and $300,000 you're going to make pastor them. No, sir, this was the only reason Brother Jake voted for me is that I won't take anything the first year. He said, well, I'll vote for that man. Where's Brother Jake? Love him anyway. He said, let's give him a try. But I sat there and I said, God, and I'm just being honest with y'all. You got to get honest with God. I said, Lord, this is going to hurt my business. I mean, how do people going to think, how do you have time to manage people's money and pastor a church too? And I'm telling you, just like the handwriting went on the wall to that guy, the Lord flashed it all in front of me. I got a business that's great. I got property. I got land. I got money in the bank. And I'm healthy and fitter than a fiddle. And he said, where did you get that from? Where did you get that from? Uh-oh. Tears started coming down my face. I said, God, I got that from you. That's where I got it from your goodness and from your mercy. I couldn't have got what I got on my own. It was through you I obtained this. And he said, I know how to take it away quicker than you got it. I knew what my answer was. Lord, I knew what my answer was. And you might say, well, Lord, you just served me for the goodness and the mercy. Lord, I'm in it for heaven. How about you? I'm in it for heaven. Lord, if there was no reward at the end of this life, I'm out. But I'm in it for the goodness of God. And I realized, and he stopped me dead in my tracks. And I've been here 10 years giving it all I got, and you know I have. And I'll continue to do so because I didn't want to lose the goodness of God. I didn't want to lose the goodness of God. I don't want to be like the rest of the world. I don't want to be where I don't have somebody to turn to in my day of trouble. So God has continued to bless me because I gave him a temple to dwell in. And I'm telling you, I've loved the 10 years I've been with y'all. Sister Smith, glad to know you. Hallelujah. Brother Buller, glad.